This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
Well, hey there, everybody. Good morning. How are you? It is Sports Daily, and we are glad to be with you here on this Friday morning, getting you ready for the weekend, wrapping up the work week, enjoying the rain out there, cool things off maybe a little bit today. Happy to be here with you. We got a big show for you. Certainly big news when it comes to Kansas Jayhawk basketball as Bill Self has a medical situation. Again, it sounds like everything's okay, but we'll dig into exactly what the school is saying last night and what it means for the future. The Royals begin a big homestand this weekend, a divisional homestand that could have more implications than perhaps we thought about a week and a half ago. We will check back in on the golf tournament featuring local golfers. We'll check in on Chiefs training camp. It's all coming for you today, and it's all What's on Tap, which is brought to you by Wichita Brewing Company, WBC Delano's debut brew, Hatfield's Mama, German Kolsch, with a clean, crisp character that's smooth and refreshing. Make history with Hatfield's Mama, Wichita Brewing Company, Delano's debut brew, available at all three WBC Brew Pubs. Happy to be with you here this morning. Happy to be with you on the air here on KFH 97.5 1240. Happy to be with you on our video streams on 12 News Connected, Facebook, YouTube X, on the apps, all the different ways you're here. We're glad you're here with us. Tommy, good morning. How are you?
I'm okay. I hope that you said your prayers and ate your vitamins this morning.
Yeah. Yeah, the Hulkster. It's a good place to start. We lose Ozzie and the Hulkster in the same week. That's a big one. And, you know, these things come in threes. I guess Malcolm Jamal Warner, if you watch the Cosbys, or Malcolm and Eddie also lost. But my goodness. You know, Hulk Hogan was interesting, Tommy. He was as fun a character for people our age as there ever was. He was, regardless of what anybody wants to say, he was the biggest deal in wrestling. And he is the reason wrestling is what it is today, in my opinion. You can love him or hate him as a character or anything else, but without what he did and without what his character did in that time frame, I don't know that it ever would get as big as it is now. It was larger than life. Hulkamania was, I mean, it was everywhere. It was insane.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was my fifth birthday party. It was a Hulk Hogan themed party. And I had all the action figures and I had the video games. And I know in the background of your shot, you've got your Macho Man plush. I don't even know what they're called, buddy or whatever
like
it
wrestling buddies. Wrestling or buddy.
So I've got the Macho Man one and I've got a Hulk Hogan one. It was, you know, he was a big deal. He was larger than life. He was like Superman. I mean, it was like a superhero type thing for us when we were kids. And yes, I mean, him, I know later in life had controversies, the legacy's a little bit complicated for him. But at the same time, it, from a nostalgic point of view, going back to when you and I were kids, I mean, he was the man.
He was the man. His character was just about perfect for what it was. You know, what's funny for me is, it wasn't that version of Hulk Hogan that was the big impact for me. Like I, we were young enough that, I mean, listen, everybody loved Hulk Hogan, our age. But it was the second version, sort of, you know, the NWO thing. That was what I was super into. That's what got me way, like, that was my peak. So, and, you know, that was kind of his second time around, almost, that turning into a bad guy. That was, I thought that was just the coolest thing ever. And so he had a couple of generations of it. It sounds like he had a very complicated life away from the ring with his family. But you know, that's a tough industry. It's a tough business and there's a lot there, and he contributed to the greatness that there is today in it. I mean, I just, like, you just don't have the same popularity without that character. There's just no chance.
And there are not a whole lot of legends that are left. I mean, you know, obviously Macho Man is gone. Roddy Piper's gone. Hulk Hogan is now gone. I mean, really, like, it's shocking to me. If you watched the, was it the 30 for 30 on Ric Flair? And and knowing his life and his lifestyle and everything, yeah, how he has outlived all of those guys now
is pretty crazy.
That's pretty wild to me.
And he almost died. Yeah. He was very close, and he told a story yesterday about how much Hulk Hogan helped him in that situation, in some tough situations. But yeah, look, it's an odd fraternity. It is the ultra competitive and all of those things, but you know, at the end of the day, I think they're all sort of in it together.
My idol. He was also one of the first crossover stars in that world. I mean, I know Roddy Piper was in a couple of movies, and then
I think it went Funk Piper Hogan.
Yeah,
in the movie, you know, in the Hollywood crossover. But those three guys kind of in that same era really pioneered that. And now that's a thing.
Yeah.
And a good thing that too. Wouldn't, it turns that wouldn't out be, these guys it are, wouldn't, are good actors.
Yeah. It wouldn't be a thing without those guys doing it. I mean, like The Rock, you know, he had crossover success due in large part to the guys that paved the way for him. And you've got John Cena now in movies and, you know, all of that. A lot of that, I mean, you have to give credit to Hulk Hogan. Now, were his movies any good? I mean, obviously he was in Rocky III, but,
be careful. Well, I don't need any trash talk on Mr. Nanny. It's a great film.
Thunder Lips is here.
Yeah.
In the flesh, baby.
Oh my God.
The ultimate male versus the ultimate meatball.
For sure. I mean, that's defines a legacy right there.
Yeah. It's,
did you say Mr. Nanny, like, by the way? Are you a Mr. Nanny guy?
Oh yeah. I mean, I seem to recall being a Mr. Nanny guy when I was like six. Yeah. Yeah.
My favorite Hulk Hogan movie. I don't think it's one that most people would have up on their list. Do you remember Suburban Commando? Did you ever see that one?
Yeah.
Christopher Lloyd was in that one. And that one's probably my favorite of all of them.
All right, let me just look here, make sure we're not forgetting a movie. He's got Suburban Commando, which
Santa,
is good.
Santa with muscles.
Oh, No Holds Barred. No Holds Barred.
Yeah. Santa with muscles.
I didn't see that one. Somebody else was telling me about that one yesterday. Let's just go way back here. He's been in a lot of stuff, believe it or not. The problem is it's putting him in all these.
Three Ninjas. Remember Three Ninjas? That was a good one.
He wasn't in Three Ninjas.
Yeah, he was. He was in Three Ninjas High Noon at Mega Mountain in 1998.
In the original Three Ninjas?
Not. I mean, he was in the sequel.
Oh, I don't know that I saw the sequel. Okay. Yeah. I was like, whoa, hang on a minute. Three Ninjas is one of my, I actually watched that movie with my kids. It was great. Yeah, I'll have to go back and look at it. Yeah, look, that's our childhood. Like, he defined our childhood.
It was actually, the fourth installment in the Three Ninjas franchise.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. 12 ninjas.
Yeah.
Yeah. He defined our generation, the over the top, neon, patriotic. I loved that. I loved it. That part of it. That time, that era was fantastic. And he was one of the banner carriers for it. So Hulk Hogan, gone from us in the same week as Ozzy. Two cultural icons gone in a week. Pretty wild stuff. Pretty wild stuff. I actually saw him, ran into him at a hotel, and I'd forgot about this until a college buddy recapped that story last night. We were in Hollywood and like ran into him, and we're just doing it was pretty close to the peak of his reality show too. So we were like trying to just, and I think my buddy like gave him a tap, like a slap on the shoulder, and got a "Hey, brother," and like made his life.
Nice.
It's just like,
you gonna do, brother?
Brother. All right. We'll come back. Let's get to what happened with Bill Self, or what's happening with Bill Self when we return. We get the news last night late. If you missed it, we'll tell you about it next on Sports Day.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
Summer Concert Series back in Wichita at Nafsker Park tonight. Series returns with the Astronauts live on stage. Gates open at 6:30. Show starts at 8. You can enjoy free live music, food trucks, Friday night fun all summer long. Find the full schedule at kfhradio.com. Tommy, welcome back in. Happy it's Friday.
Yeah.
It's good to be Friday.
Yeah. So first off, a big thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee keeping us fueled up and caffeinated today. So you ever have like a out-of-body experience, like something happens around you and you're like, is this reality? What's going on? I'm out in the break room and I'm making some Prairie Fire coffee just a moment ago. And we've got our radio in the break room. We've, you know, usually we rotate one of the stations in our Odyssey family. And all of a sudden, as I'm making coffee, I'm hearing Mariah Carey, "All I Want for Christmas Is You." And I have a weird out of body, like, what is happening right now? It just didn't feel real. And I'm like, am I actually hearing this? And turns out I didn't even realize this. Our buddy over on KUYN, Dave Wilson, it's Christmas in July. Today's July 25th. And so over on 103.7 KUYN, he's playing Mariah Carey, "All I Want for Christmas Is You." But in that moment, I'm making coffee. I'm still a little bit tired. Like, is that what is happening right now? And I couldn't connect the dots.
How do you feel about that song? We probably talked.
I'm good with it one time a year, and today was the one time a year.
I guess I can give it one time a year. Man, I just don't think that song is as awesome as a lot of people do. It's not even.
Does anybody really think this song is awesome, though? I don't think anybody believes like it's an awesome
song. Usually when I bring this up, people are like, what are you talking about? You're insane. How do you hate that so much? And I'm like, guys, I just don't think the songs are. I'm just not a big Mariah Carey fan anyway. Like, I couldn't even tell you what my favorite Mariah Carey song is. Never been my cup of tea.
It's a little jarring when you just completely off guard hear "All I Want for Christmas Is You" in July, and you can't figure out why you're hearing it. And then, come to find out that they're celebrating Christmas in July over on KUYN.
We do appreciate Prairie Fire Coffee.
We do.
In the trip over there to grab a cup. And that's pretty funny. It is Christmas in July. We used to do a huge promo at stores for Christmas in July. We don't do that now. We do a variety of other things. But I hear that, and that gives me a little shell shock. It's like, oh, wait, what? No,
wait,
no, no.
What's
no,
going
no,
on? No, no, no.
Yeah, don't say that. Don't say that.
The little girl.
All right, speed up.
Go ahead, Max. Go ahead.
The little girl in Love Actually did a better version of that than Mariah Carey.
You know, Love Actually is actually a pretty good movie.
Now, don't start this either.
It's not a bad movie.
Oh, come on.
Don't start this either, Bruce. Bruce used to get on his soapbox about Love Actually being just this amazing movie. And there weren't very many opportunities where you needed to, like, check a man card. I feel like that's.
I mean, I don't think it's a cinematic masterpiece, but it's okay. Like, I'll watch it once a year around Christmas. It's okay.
You're really going to watch it once a year? Isn't that movie
my wife watches it about 10 times a year.
That movie is 2 hours and 15 minutes long of a rom-com. Isn't that Hugh Grant? You want 2 hours and 15 minutes of Hugh Grant?
Liam Neeson's in it too. I'll take 2 hours of Liam Neeson.
This isn't cool Liam Neeson yet.
Hans Gruber.
Come on, Liam Neeson is always cool.
2 hours and 15 minutes of a, is that even, would you even call it a rom-com?
By the way, did you see that, speaking of Liam Neeson, that he's going to be in the reboot of The Naked Gun?
Can't wait.
I think that'll be pretty cool.
I'm very interested. That's a movie. So the one clip I've seen of it, it looks like it's going to be different.
Yeah.
And I think that's a very good thing. You cannot do that movie without Leslie Nielsen. It wouldn't work.
Liam Neeson will have to play it differently than Leslie Nielsen.
That's what
obviously.
I'm saying.
He's
and,
a different
and I think,
kind
I think
of
in
actor.
That circumstance, it could be awesome, and I'm excited for it. As long as they don't try to make him be like the guy who can do the thing that Nielsen, like, nobody else can do that. Like, that's his thing.
Yeah.
Like, you can't, it'd be like trying to recast Ace Ventura. Right, like, it just wouldn't work. Even if it was this really brilliant act, like, it would never work. So I'm excited to see that. The one clip I did see looked pretty good.
I saw the trailer when we went to see Spinal Tap on the big screen. It's really funny, the trailer. Anyway.
Speaking of movies, Happy Gilmore 2 drops today. Today's the day that the new Happy Gilmore movie's out.
Oh, man. I don't have any expectations. I'm glad they're trying it. I want it to be awesome. I love Adam Sandler so much. And I think, like, again, we're talking about our generation. Like, you couldn't replicate it. It couldn't be better. It wouldn't work today. I get it all, but boy, did it work then. And that is a great, great movie. And I think there's very little chance it's just like objectively bad. So I'm just hoping it's okay.
It will be. It should be filled with just nostalgia. Like we talked about nostalgia in the last segment with Hogan.
Fine.
Like, I feel like there's going to be so many callbacks and cameos, and you're like, oh, there's that guy and there's that guy and there's that guy. Will it be, again, cinematic masterpiece? No. I mean, like, let's be real about that. But
the original Happy Gilmore is cinematic masterpiece, by the way.
It should be fun. It should be fun.
Yeah, it should be fun. It's like, sometimes I think it gets overthought and then it's corrected. Like the original Dumb and Dumber, where it was recast, that second one was not worth anything. And then when they brought the original cast back, it wasn't as good, but it was still better, right? The Hangover. They tried the second one. No, didn't work. They tried to make it too different. Then the third one felt more like the first one. And you're like, okay, that's okay. Like that's good. But yeah, we got to approach with caution, but who's not excited to see Shooter McGavin commercials? And like, it's so good. Are you bigger Billy Madison or bigger Happy Gilmore fan?
Bigger Happy Gilmore fan. But I do appreciate both of them. Billy Madison has moments that are phenomenal. Happy Gilmore.
I think I agree. Those are the two Sandler movies for me. He did so many great ones. Those are the two for me. I think I agree with that and would take Happy Gilmore. I think. Boy, that's a tough question. There were so many great, and all the Farley movies of that time, Tommy Boy, Black Sheep, man, that generation.
The thing about both of those movies is
no offense, Max, but we had it best.
The thing about both of those movies, they're basically the same movie. And so there are moments that I'm like, oh yeah, I love that in Billy Madison. And then I think about it, I'm like, actually, that was Happy Gilmore. I get them mixed up all the time.
I do the same thing with Tommy Boy and Black Sheep.
Yeah.
But hey, I know what I like, and I like what I like.
Do you consider Big Daddy, a rom-com?
Big Daddy, a rom-com.
You could consider Happy Gilmore a rom-com or Billy Madison a rom-com. There's always a love interest. So I don't think so. No, I consider Love Actually a rom-com. And I'm going to need to store it away that Tommy likes to watch that 2-hour and 15-minute movie a year.
It's not a bad movie. Like
I don't watch any movie once a year anymore. I might watch like 3 movies a year. That damn sure is not going to be one of them. We're talking about holiday movies. How do you fit in time for Home Alone?
Oh, I watch Home Alone 2. I watch that too. Christmas Vacation. I'll watch that too. Every year.
Watch more movies.
Die Hard. It's a Wonderful Life. I'll try to watch once a year. I mean,
I don't watch that one. I don't watch that. I watch A Christmas Story though.
I'll watch that one.
All right. Thank you for Christmas in July over on KYN to take us down a strange path. But hey, we get here. It's Friday in July. Why not? Tommy, we got this news last night. Bill Self hospitalized, had some stents put in, which is frightening. Absolutely terrifying, I'm sure, for Bill Self and his family. But it's done, and he should have a full recovery. My dad has had stents. It's kind of the same timeline of Bill Self. My dad had a heart attack and then a couple of years later he had some stents put in, and then he was good for 20 or 25 years before recently had another open heart just in the last few months. But I think that, as there is like tremendous shock value in that for everyone, I don't think it's terribly uncommon, and I'm hopeful for him that now gets him to where he needs to be with his heart and the issues with his heart. Bill Self's only 62 years old. I see a lot of chatter, and we had the conversation last night. Is it time to walk away? Is it time to do this, that, or the other? And I'm always like, guys, he's only 62. Like, he's not old. And so I would imagine that this will impact his time or whatever in the short term, and probably whatever his long term plan is. I don't know that this is going to affect it too much, and it's his decision to make. And I am totally like whatever with whichever way he decides to go with it. I just don't want to go, he should do X, Y, or Z. He's only 62 years old.
I agree with you that he's earned the right to do whatever he wants to do. And I think Kansas will support him in that, regardless of what decision he makes and whichever way he goes. He absolutely has earned that right. Where I do disagree with you is I do think that it does impact his longevity as the coach at Kansas. I thought that back when he was having the heart issues a couple of years ago and he had to sit out the NCAA tournament and all of that. I thought, okay, well, that's really going to shorten the timeline of him being the head coach at the University of Kansas. You say he's only 62, and that's correct, but he's not an accountant at 62. He's a head basketball coach at one of the most premier universities in the country at 62. It's a high level of stress. And in today's landscape with NIL and recruiting and all these different things, it is an incredibly stressful job. And, you know, all you have to do is watch him on the sideline. And, you know, I always know when Bill Self is getting pretty heated, he turns red, you know, and he looks like he's about to burst, you know, and it's a high stress job. And I wouldn't blame him or fault him one bit if he was like, you know what, I think I've had my fill of this.
I wouldn't blame him or fault him at all. I just would understand if he doesn't want to yet. And I also think there is no, like, he is still doing it at an insanely high level. And I know people will say, well, last 2 years have been their worst in his era. That's because he had the same group and they just weren't working.
He wasn't feeling 100% for a lot of the last couple of years. I don't know if you caught this, but just in the last week, he did an interview with Seth Davis. I believe it was Seth Davis. Or it might have been Andy Katz. He sat down with Andy Katz and had this wide-ranging, long interview where they talked about the last couple of years. And he said, I really wasn't feeling well the last couple of years, and really it took me until just recently to start to feel better. And now he's back in the hospital.
Well, that tells you why I didn't feel well, because he needed stints.
Right.
Right. I just, like, let that medical part. Stints are you know, in the experience of people I know, are wonderful things, and it's like a day surgery, and they can do it, and they usually do exactly what they're supposed to do and do amazing things. So hopefully that happens. I would just, like, he's got the number one player in the country. He's got the next number one player in the country very much on the hook, nibbling at the line a little bit. Like, I get the sense that he still greatly enjoys this. I don't think he's greatly enjoyed the last two seasons as much, because it just wasn't going to work with that group, and there was no solution for it. I think, you know, we'll see what happens if this year Trent, then okay, we can have the conversation. But for me, like, it's just been an unfortunate couple of years. Like, they got the players everyone wanted them to get, and they never just could fit together the right way. And so this year it's going to be a totally different approach. And the reality is, and I've said this to you, and I mean it with no offense, I think it's actually pretty cool, but KU fans are super, super, super spoiled. And like winning the Big 12 every year is just not a thing that's going to happen anymore. Like, that's not, those days are gone for any program across the country. It's too hard now. We'll see what happens with, you know, the resettling of the transfer portal and everything. But it was just like, those days are gone anyway. So you kind of have to approach it with, like, okay, well, you know, first and foremost, can my coach still get the best players? And Bill Self is still very, very, very good at that. And then when you get into it, like, what are they able to do with it? So I think that I hope he keeps coaching, because I think he's one of my favorite characters ever in the sport. And I just love him being there, but only if he wants to be, right? And I think there's still plenty of room for him to do it. You know, how old was Coach K when he retired? 80?
No, he was 75 or 76, I believe.
Yeah. Boeheim, quite a bit. Like, some of these guys, older. I just don't want, like, when I say he's only 62, I just mean it in the sense that I think sometimes he gets looped into, like, Roy Williams, Boeheim, Kay, Izzo. He's not as old as those guys. Like, He's still relatively young.
Speaking of those guys, I found an article. This goes all the way back to 2017. When he was 54, he did an interview with ESPN.com where he talked about how he wasn't interested in coaching as long as those guys had coached. And in fact, like all three of them, Boeheim, Williams, and Coach K, they were all still coaching at that time in 2017. And they were all obviously quite a bit older than him. In the case of Jim Boeheim, almost 20 years older than Bill Self. But he talked in this interview about how he really wanted to mainly just coach into his late 50s, and he wasn't sure if he could see himself doing this into his 60s. Now he's 62. Of course, that was in 2017. That was 8 years ago. So things can change. But what I find really interesting in this interview with ESPN.com is that he talks about, and this is his quote, "With recruiting the way that it is, it just wears you down." That was in 2017. Things have changed significantly since 2017 in the world of recruiting. And if it wore him down then, I can only imagine what it's doing today.
Don't you think it's about to get a little better, though? I mean, I think it could. I think it could get more into his wheelhouse, which is to keep players for a long time, which some of this reshuffling, and we can try to get into the executive order of yesterday. I don't have a real good grasp of that yet. So we may have to wait till next week and let some of the dust settle. A lot of distractions right now in Washington, taking attention away from whatever that is and how it's going to impact it. But I think if you ask me now, would I like to be retired at 62? I would say, well, yeah, that sounds great. But I would bet you when I get to 62, that'd last about a week or two. And I'd be like, now what am I supposed to do? You know what I mean? I think that perspective changes for a lot of people as they get there. He is still good at what he does. I mean, he just won a national championship, what, 4 years ago? Four or five years ago now?
2022.
Yeah, he just won a championship. They are still making the tournament every year, and he got the best player in the country to come to Kansas. So hopefully, first and foremost, hopefully he's good, right? Hopefully he's healthy now, and we'll just let him decide what he was going to do. I think, I mean, there won't be any outcome with any of this that ever surprises me. He could walk away tomorrow and it wouldn't surprise me. He could coach another 10 years and it wouldn't surprise me. I'm glad he's okay, because that is terrifying when you have to go deal with that stuff.
I know you don't, I don't think you subscribe to this theory at all. I do a little bit, and I think that after the events last night, there probably is a little bit more credibility to, there might have been an underlying reason why Jock Vaughn was brought to Kansas.
No, I don't subscribe.
Look, he's a former NBA head coach. He's a Kansas legend, and now he's on the bench with Bill Self. Did they telegraph him to be the future head coach of Kansas when they brought him on? I don't think so. I mean, that honestly wasn't anything that was ever, you know, even talked about by Bill Self or Kansas as being the reason why, but it certainly could be a contingency. And I think that that's one thing to kind of keep your eye on.
I don't ever think it works. Whether they have him there in waiting or whatever, it almost never works. To your point on Jock Vaughn, I'm very happy that Jock Vaughn is on the KU staff. What I don't want to do is, you know, if something were to happen and Bill Self were to step away anytime soon, I am not right now at all going to be advocating for Jock Vaughn to be the next head coach of Kansas.
Why is that? I don't understand why there's such a negative opinion
of him. Because there's almost no track record of guys making that transition without the experience in college to being successful. That, like, to a program like Kansas, Chris Mullen, Patrick Ewing, Juwan Howard lately, Avery Johnson's tried to do this. Like, it's two different worlds. So to never have spent any time coaching in college to be the next coach of Kansas, I think is crazy. I think it's crazy. It's like two different sports. Now, some assistants, and there are other guys who spend time on staffs both directions that can do it. But until you understand the landscape of college basketball and college athletics, like, that's not a That's not a transition I'd be willing to take a risk on for the University of Kansas. If it was a struggling once great program like Georgetown or St. John, whatever, then okay, fine. But not Kansas. Kansas doesn't need to do that. So I'm glad he's there now. And maybe after a few years, we learn, and he's awesome at this. He understands it. He's good at the recruiting piece. He's doing everything well. Okay. It's just like you've got to spend some time in college basketball. Rick says the current BYU coach, I guess, was an NBA assistant. There's lots of guys who've spent time in the NBA. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying Jacques Vaughn's never spent any time in college yet as a coach. It's too early to make that kind of move. He's got to spend some time there, and hopefully he will. Hopefully he'll be with Bill Self for a little while, and he can do that.
There are situations, though, where you've got former players of a team coming back and being the head coach where there has been success. I mean, take a look at a guy like John Shire at Duke. You know, it was kind of the same situation where he was
an assistant for Duke for a long time.
Well, I get that. I'm just saying, like, he came back and served under Coach K and then ultimately took over, was a player at Duke, and now he's had a lot of success there. That sort of thing can happen where you have a former player coming back, being an assistant, and then ultimately being named the coach and having success there. So, like, at least that sort of path, that's not unprecedented. That happens all the time.
And Rick's right. I just looked. BYU's coach did not spend very early in his career. There are examples, and there are other examples of it working. There's just a lot of examples of it not working, and I don't think it would be the path Kansas would need to take if you had to make the decision on July 25th of 2025. Jacques Vaughn could be incredible at this. I hope that he is. I hope that whoever and whenever it happens, it can be somebody as connected to the program as Jacques Vaughn is. I think that would be an amazing story, but it's not the right time for it right now.
By the way, he had success when he coached the Nets. I mean, I know
he was a good coach.
I know they let him go and he didn't really get super deep in the playoffs. He had a couple playoff appearances with the Nets. And if you look at his overall win-loss record body of work in the NBA, you have to add in his time with the Magic, and the Magic, they were a horrible franchise back in those days. And that really does skew the overall win-loss record for Jacques Vaughn. But if you just take out the most recent stint and look at his time with the Nets, I mean, he had an over 500 winning percentage. He made the playoffs a couple of years. I think one thing that's really important that I think in today's landscape of college basketball, and this is going to continue, the more that college basketball and college sports in general, but especially basketball, moves into this professional realm, players getting paid, that sort of thing, I think having a guy that has experience in coaching NBA personalities with big salaries and managing all of that, that becomes a really important trait and asset to have on the college bench. And so I do think that there are some things that he's done as an NBA former player and former coach that could maybe serve him well being there at Kansas, whether he's there as an assistant for a couple of years.
Right. Or eventually
maybe takes over for Bill Self. I don't think that's a bad thing.
No, I'm not ready to say but it needs to be much further down the road. There is a huge difference in being a 12-month-a-year, 365-day-a-year college coach and an NBA coach that generally is the coach during the NBA season. I mean, it's not like it's just more of a grind. I've said forever, like I can't believe why guys would rather be a college coach than a pro coach. There's no day off in college. Like, you're either constantly recruiting or you're coaching. And recruiting has become even crazier than it ever has been. Like, that's a totally different grind even than it used to be, because now you can't count on players sticking around at all. It's basically like taking an NBA coach and saying, okay, great year. Here's what's going to happen now. Every player in the league is a free agent every single year. Deal with that. That would be like, that's the kind of, it's just a whirlwind. Now, that's a nice transition. And again, very glad Jacques Vaughn's there right now. And as an assistant. Then we go into this, what does change in the recruiting world? President Trump signs an executive order yesterday. There's a flurry of this stuff there's just a lot of action for whatever reason. We don't need to get into happening right now in Washington. This is one of them. And there is, I believe, generally speaking, bipartisan support before this came out. We'll see if that sticks afterward. To legislate the insanity of college athletics. This, from what I can tell, and the White House sent out a fact sheet on, and that's basically all we've been given, it does lay out a lot of the things you hear most people say. Organization, better organization, not the Wild West. There were a couple of things in there on the NIL piece. It can't be pay for play, but it also goes out of the way of saying that doesn't pertain, though, to fair market value deals. I don't know how you enforce it, but that's the way it probably should be, right? If there is true endorsement or name, image, likeness value in it, then it's good. If there's not, then it becomes just paying players, which would now, with a salary cap, violate the rules that I'm actually okay with, right? Because there's a salary cap. You can't just spend more than your peers. Now you're kind of cheating again here. The one thing that I continue, though, and it does go in the executive order to say we've got to get the lawsuits and everything out of this stuff. How, though, do you tell somebody that it's not fair market value when somebody in the market is telling them they want to pay them that? You know, there are the more obvious examples of Cooper Flagg being all over New Balance commercials. And then there are less obvious examples of, you know, a guy with a booster who happens to own a car dealership, maybe.
We had Dylan Edwards from K-State do a couple of appearances with KFH last weekend. We're the home of Kansas State, and they were great. And, you know, a little bit inside baseball, the way that we figured out the fee for Dylan Edwards was K-State told us what he was going to be worth, and then it went from there. So there was never a discussion, and there was never any, you know, anybody poking holes in it saying, is that fair market value? Is that something that, you know, is fair for that? It just was kind of an understood, like, fair market value is what somebody's willing to pay for it. And that's the number that they threw out, and that number was accepted. That, in my mind, that's fair market value. I'm not sure that it needs to be any more complicated than that.
What if Joe Schmo from Chuck's Lightbulb Sales is a huge K-State fan and says, well, I want to pay him $500,000. I think that would help my company.
Yeah.
Sorry, Chuck, that's not the going rate for the light bulb industry.
Right.
Like, who says who?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's what the market dictates what the market does. And that's the way that it always has been. I don't know. Going back to the whole executive order, I read it. I read the fact sheet. And then I immediately saw dozens and dozens and dozens of people on social media. And I have no idea these people's credentials and certifications and experience and credibility and all of that. But so many people said that none of this will hold up in court, that it's not even worth the value of the paper that it was written on. And so when I read the fact sheet and then I saw all of these examples of literally none of this is going to hold up in court, I'm like, okay, like it's not even worth it.
Well, listen, until
it
does.
Because all of this is going to go through the courts. It's going to go, I mean, this is going to be so long and drawn out. I don't even get worked up over it until we know exactly when the dust settles, what it's going to look like.
As someone who has to follow politics in my other hat, I can tell you that no matter what the current president does, there are going to be tons and tons of people on social media that will immediately say it's wrong and it won't work. Like,
yeah, true.
It's just like literally it's so hard to sort through people's agendas and what's real and what's not real. But for me, if there is an executive order that outlines a path and direction for lawmakers to potentially follow, there is a way to make sure this doesn't end up in court. You change the law and then court is on your side, right? So like the court's job is only to enforce the law, not to make the law. So if there is push and pressure from Washington to change the law or create some laws, then court's not going to be a problem because that all court does is enforce the law. I don't know. Also, with all the noise happening there, I think there's been bipartisan support to organize this pretty universally because it's popular, right? And politicians will always try to do things that are popular. The problem now is, though, if the president takes a clear side, are the other sides, even if it's right or even if it's right, would they join him? Or if it's wrong, would his own party say, hey, that's wrong? That's where now it's like, okay, well, this is such a mess up there anyway. I don't know how much they'll work together, but it's popular and contingent. Like you're the people you represent. Like we kind of all want the same thing. We just want this to be better organized. So we'll see. I think it's interesting because everything that's in there is what coaches and administrators and everybody's been begging for. Now you've got to have the lawmaker support to get in there and actually change a law. And then then you want to worry about court challenges. I just don't know how you write the law that says you can't, you know, how do you dictate what the market value is? That's the part I think that is still a really great challenge. And I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't know that part of it is without a work contract, which makes it much easier. I don't know how you can do it.
Put them under contract. We're going to end up with collective bargaining. We're going to end up with contracts. Yep. That's ultimately the way that long term you solve this. It's going to take a lot to get there, though.
It is. I agree. But it's out there. That happened yesterday, too. All right. When we come back, we'll get into the Royals, some trades starting to happen in Major League Baseball. We'll check into Chiefs training camp. A lot to get to on a Friday. Don't go away. It's Sports Daily. All right. Welcome back in, everybody. You want to win a trip to see the Zac Brown Band? We'll get you started this hour with some information on how you can do it. Love and Fear, live at the Sphere in Las Vegas, is in December. It includes a two-night stay at the Suite in the Venetian Resort, Las Vegas, the only hotel directly connected to the Sphere. Easy to enter. It's a national contest with a chance to win that trip. You just download the Odyssey app, listen to KFH for at least an hour. You can learn more on the contest at odyssey.com/Zach. Thanks to Messina Touring Group for that one. Tommy, we have Hawaiian Shirt Wednesdays. And we have Friday Fit on Fridays. We're fashionistas.
Yeah, it's really a fashion program, if you didn't know that. No, we have our Friday Fit, as we do every single week, brought to you by our friends at 3570 Golf Company here in Wichita. They are a locally owned golf apparel company. All their designs embody this part of the country. One thing I love about 3570 Golf Co. is that if you go and follow them on social media, they're very active on Facebook, on Instagram, and they like to tell their story, which is outstanding. And it's very much a storytelling brand. Like I said, all their designs embody this part of the country. And so you can check out all of their great apparel designs. We're talking shirts, we're talking hoodies, golf head covers. I know you have a golf head cover of theirs. It's got the Wichita flag on it. You can check out everything they've got online, 35x70golfco.com. Use the promo code Tommy and get 10% off your order.
And you can represent it wherever it is that you're out playing golf, like Crestview Country Club.
Yeah.
Another great sponsor of the program. I went out and I tried to beat the rain last night, Tommy. But one of my kids and I went, we got about four holes in after work, but you can begin to see that tree work now. Some of the trees that have been marked are going down. Some of them are still just marked, and you get a feel for how much the course is going to change. And I think for a lot of people, that's exciting. It'll change the way you play a lot of holes, which will in a ways make it feel like a new course. We'll see what the end result is. I mean, some of the trees were just badly damaged in the storm and they got to come down. So we'll see what the end result is. But get out there, give Crestview a call, ask them about their memberships. If you listen to this show, you know how much we love it. So get out there, give them a call, see about the different things that they can do for you in a membership package. We appreciate their support of the show, 35x70 support of the show. We got so many great people that help make this show possible, and we appreciate them all. And we hope you do too. All right, Tommy, we've got some baseball and some Chiefs to get to. There was a pretty major trade overnight. Josh Naylor, who's a former All-Star, traded to the Mariners. They were supposed to be in the mix for Eugenio Suarez, who used to play for them. I believe they're the ones who traded him to Arizona. But Naylor comes in. He's been a really good player for Arizona for a little while now. He's going to help Seattle. I think it's relevant. In a few ways for the Royals. A, Seattle's one of the teams the Royals are going to be competing with in the wild card, and they probably just got quite a bit better. And B, it's sort of the first bigger domino, I think, which we know in baseball this kind of happens. You get that first big one to fall, and then it kind of starts to snowball just a little bit on that. So it kind of sets the market, it lets us be the first one. And now here we go. We're full steam ahead. And one of the teams that the Royals are competing with just got better. Now we see what the rest of the league's going
to
do.
If there was ever any thought that Suarez could be dealt to the Royals, I think that was extinguished with the Josh Naylor trade last night. It was not going to happen anyway. But the fact that, I would imagine Seattle's probably got a similar payroll, similar structure to the Royals, and they didn't
They spend more than the Royals system.
I would imagine. I mean, they're closer to the Royals than they probably are to like the Yankees or the Dodgers, right? Like, I think they're probably in the same realm, generally speaking. And the fact that they were not going to spend, the overall money and the overall cost to acquire a guy like Suarez, and they instead go with Naylor, who is cheaper, tells me that Suarez is going to, it's going to garner a lot of attention. And we already knew that. But I mean, he's probably going to be a Yankee, I think, at the end of the day. But I do think that you're right, though. It does jumpstart the market. The fact that you had the first kind of major domino to fall a week before the deadline, we're probably going to see some other ones happen throughout the weekend and then obviously into next week. But I do think that, again, if the Royals, I think they recognize that they're chasing multiple teams and the Mariners are one of them. I don't disagree with you. Seattle got better with that trade. And so now do the Royals feel even more pressure that they've got to try to improve if they're going to continue to try to chase that team?
They got a lot better, probably. Seattle is as dangerous as any team in baseball because they can pitch like crazy. And they just need to, continue to add a little bit to the offense. And Josh Naylor's a lot of bit to the offense. It's a meaningful trade. I think Seattle, like if you look at the wild card standings right now, and we'll get into the Royals here on the other side of this. But if you look at the wild card standings now, and you're looking at the teams that are in there that you're going to have to try to catch as you're 4.5 games back of the Red Sox, if you're the Royals right now, the Red Sox are the ones after that trade, especially to me, that I would look at as the catchable team. The challenge here, if we're being realistic, the Yankees are probably adding. Seattle just added a significant piece. Toronto, Houston, and Detroit all have a lot of wins, so you can't really look at them yet. We don't know what Boston's going to do. Tampa's not going to go add anybody of significance. Texas might. I think you're looking at probably when this all settles in, when you're talking about the Royals competing for those wild card spots, it's going to be a race with Texas, Boston, Seattle, and New York. I think Tampa's always there. They could still be there. They probably will be. But as far as the teams that are going to that are really talented and likely going to try to get a little bit better, I think those are the teams. And so when, there's a Jaron Duran trade, do the Royals and Red Sox have any interest in trading with each other right now? Like they're competing against each other. I that probably not. So, we get into all of this and I think it still does lend itself to what we've said now for at least the last couple weeks that the most likely is probably the Royals just ride this thing out. Maybe they go try to add a bullpen piece. Lugo is this. You just have to separate Lugo out from everything that's happening because his situation is so unique. But one of those teams that's likely there in the end just got a lot better. The only path to this for the Royals, Tommy, is if they play really well down the stretch. And I don't know that they're going to go add somebody that's going to make the difference. The difference there is going to be if the players they currently have basically play the way offensively they've played in July for the rest of the season, whether or not they add somebody or not. I just don't know what's realistically out there. If it's Duran and you're competing with the Red Sox, are they really going to make a trade? And if you're the Royals, do you really want to give them a starter like Seth Lugo if you know you've got to chase them down?
That's been the big reason why, even though there was a lot of smoke about Duran going to Kansas City, it never really made a whole lot of sense to me.
Well, it did at the time because they just traded Devers, and we all thought they'd be bad. They've gotten better since they traded Devers.
And they're back in the mix, and so for that reason, it's always been a little bit strange to me. Now, could they use the help of a Seth Lugo? Absolutely they could. And could the Royals use the help of a Duran? Absolutely they could. But knowing where they're both positioned in the wild card race, it does make it a little, I'm a little bit skeptical about that actually happening. I do wonder, and I know they're really, I don't think there's been much chatter about this at all, but if the Diamondbacks are in full sell mode, and it looks like they are moving Naylor, moving Suarez, potentially all of that. Is there anybody else on the Diamondbacks that the Royals could target? Because if it's a full fire
Zach
sale from them,
Zach Gallen's going to get traded. I don't know what his contract is.
They don't need pitching help. They don't need, I know like they're.
Well, but if you're talking about controllable assets, I wouldn't think he's a name that I've seen. Is there a bat that would help them? I don't think so. I don't think so. Gallen's free agents. That would be a no for the Royals. But I don't think so. I don't think they honestly, like, let's be, unless it's a highly controllable player, Tommy, I don't think they need, I just don't know that that's the right play. I think the right play is to let your players on this team go be the best they can be and see what happens. It's almost like if you look at the wild card teams, especially with what Seattle just did, and knowing that the Yankees are probably, and every report says they're going to be ultra, ultra aggressive, with Toronto probably doing the same thing and playing really well lately. I think that the most, like, how much more likely is it that you're going to catch these wild card teams as maybe Detroit comes back down to earth and you catch them? Like, I think you just ride it out. And I think you just hope that what we're seeing in July is that law of averages. And some of these players were just unfortunately cold for 3 months collectively. And if they're not now, you can pitch with any team in baseball. So go see if it works out. I don't know what good it's going to do for them to go add a rental type player. If you can get controllable players, great, because I do think you got to look at next year too. But rental players to me just don't make any sense right now for the Royals. I don't think a rental bat is going to give them enough of a boost in their chances to make the playoffs to make it worth it.
How about a reunion with Ryan O'Hearn? Could they be in on him, bringing him back to Kansas City? Well, that's a good point. Yeah, I mean, like,
and can he play left field? I don't even know.
I mean, he is kind of a platoon guy. He's only under contract for this year.
Yeah, I just don't. No. We'll get into the Royals. Let's dig into them and what they've got coming up this weekend when we return. It's Sports Daily.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, swift rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily here. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster. We are talking a little baseball with you here on Sports Daily as the trade deadline looms, as the Royals get ready for a series against the Guardians. You'll have coverage here all weekend long tonight at 7 o'clock. It begins. Tommy, it's a critical series. I don't know. I asked this question, and I don't think I know how I would answer it, to be perfectly honest. Whether it's more likely they can catch the teams they're chasing in the wild card at about 5 games, or catch the Tigers at 9.5 games back. I think you just have to look at those particular teams and hedge your bet on who you think has more staying power. I know the Tigers were one of the best teams in baseball in the pre All-Star break. But we still have an entire post-All-Star break to play. And I think if we're being honest, and I like the Tigers and I like all their young players and I think they're really good, I'm not sure that I'm willing to, with conviction, say I think they're going to be as good the rest of the way as they were the first half of baseball. And if that's the case, maybe they are the team that we should refocus on. I don't know.
I don't think so. Even if the Tigers are not as good of a team down the stretch as they were to start the season, it would take an epic collapse, like of epic proportions, for the Tigers to completely fall apart and give up the lead in the American League Central.
I mean, they just had that. Right. They lost 9 out of 10 games.
Yeah.
And the Royals only won 5 out of those 10 games. But over the course of a week and a half, the Royals made up 5 games.
Right. But it would take what they have done as far as the ground they've already given up and then continuing on a big epic collapse to right. get to that. I mean, I think it's really, really, really unlikely. Has it happened before in Major League Baseball? Sure, it has. We've seen teams completely fall apart. But the one thing that the Tigers have, and I know you don't like it when I give him credit, but they've got A.J. Hinch. And Hinch is a stabilizing factor. He always has been in the dugout. And
when all things fail, you can cheat.
I get it. I know you're not a Hinch guy. And for good reason, like, don't get me wrong. But at the same time, like, he is a guy that can steady the ship and I think prevent the Tigers from having this epic collapse.
Yeah, he's fine. He's fine. He's done a nice job there.
He's done a nice job with the Tigers.
He has. I like their roster too. I just don't know, of the teams, if it's going to be the Yankees, I guess we can just look at it this way. Right now it's the Mariners, the Yankees, the Red Sox that own the spots. Okay, so you've also got Texas and Tampa and Cleveland very much in the mix. But currently, the three spots are occupied by the Yankees, the Red Sox, and the Mariners. And the Tigers have, they've got your four games back further. Hell, I guess you'd be 5 games back further. But do you think Detroit is better than those three teams? I'm not sure that I do. when we're getting into the roster and when we consider what the Yankees are probably going to add at the deadline, what Seattle just added, and the way I would concede Boston, I don't think is. I think Detroit's better than Boston, but I'm not sure I think Detroit's better than Seattle and New York.
Well, one other thing to keep in mind with Detroit is that it's not like the Royals are the only team chasing them in the American League Central. You've got the Guardians that are right above the Royals. Of course, the Royals.
You can take care of that.
Well, you can sweep them this weekend at Kauffman, but right. But keep in mind, like, let's say that like the Guardians and the Royals are right there and they're both chasing the Tigers. Well, if the Tigers, let's say they drop out of the lead of the American League Central, they're still in the wild card race. Like, you would still have to jump them in the wild card race. So it doesn't eliminate any teams that you have to
leapfrog. No. All I'm trying to figure out, and the other thing that I probably should have said in the beginning, you get to play Detroit six times. Right. So there's that. You have a little more control there. And I think they play most of these teams, but it'll be fun either way. Doesn't really matter. We only are talking about it because of the trade deadline. And like, what should Kansas City be doing? I am pretty comfortable in the place of just sit tight and just go and just see what happens. If Salvador Perez is all the way back, which he appears to be. Vinny Pasquantino has been all the way back to himself for a while now. Bobby Witt Jr. has a little more juice in the tank. He still does so many things well that he's always great. But offensively, he has a little more left in the tank based on what we saw a year ago. Caglione's not going to be... He's not going to be worse. He's probably going to be significantly better. He could at least be the same thing. I think there is, the Royals should be better in the second half, even if they traded away Seth Lugo.
They already have been. They've already played a whole lot better.
I think that's a flash in the pan. I think we're going to see that, you know, the rest of the way. I think that's your best shot. I don't know that adding anybody to it is going to make that much of a difference. Like, what player would even do that? They went and they got Frazier, who they think helps them fill a need. Okay. They have enough in the bullpen. That's not urgent. I mean, it'd be nice to have a bullpen arm. Again, a controllable player is a different story because we're talking about something that helps them next year. But as far as rental guy, I don't know. I just don't think it makes a whole lot of sense. It's too, like, the hill they have to climb is still too daunting to even imagine it. So just ride it out. Let your players go play.
Yeah, there was an article yesterday, I believe, and I'm forgetting. There are so many different insiders that are writing articles, but somebody prominently had an article that basically talked about how even though the Royals had been in on Brian Reynolds for a long time, that's not going to happen. Like, that's off the table now, which is probably for the best, and he's locked in for a long time, obviously, in his contract. He's expensive, all of that. That one doesn't make a whole lot of sense anymore. It might have 2 or 3 weeks ago. Doesn't make as much sense as it does today. So really, I think you're kind of narrowed down on who's out there and who you could actually go to get that would be an immediate help, number one, but then also be controllable, number two. I wonder, and I know we've talked about Lugo extensively. We talked about Chris Bubich potentially, maybe also being on the trade block if there are some good offers for him. One name that I think could be interesting, let's say they don't move either Lugo or Bubich. I think there could be a scenario where if they got a good return for a guy like Carlos Estevez, that you could justify potentially moving him and getting value in return to help them right now and in the future. So, I mean, there are still quite a bit of options that are out there.
I wouldn't move Estevez. What's his contract? I think he's there next year too. I think you got to hang on there. The only player to trade away, I don't want to see him trade away anybody. The only player that you can really make any case for to me is Lugo. Estevez is, let's just look here. He's on a 2-year, so he's making 11, 10, 10 million a year. And you get a club option in 27. And he's only 32. I'm hanging on to Estevez. I think that's a pretty solid deal. I think he helps them too much. they have to think, whatever they do, they have to think about next year. Have to. Because they have too much there to compete again next year. The only thing of real major significance, I believe, that they won't have next year likely that they have right now is Lugo. That's it.
Yeah.
Right? Like, so, you know, I just think they're going to be in too good a position to compromise anything that comes next year. Don't you?
Yeah. Like, I would say, and I, there's an article that came out 2 hours ago from our buddy Jalen Thompson. And it's, again, kind of talking about all the different options that are on the table for the Royals in the next week. There's one area in this article that there are zero words that are written about, and that is the Royals acquiring players and who those players could be. That's not in the article at all. It's about, could they move Lugo? Could they move Bubic? Could they move Estevez? And then would they part with any of their top prospects? But nowhere in Jalen's most recent article does it talk about potential players on other teams that the Royals might want to go and acquire. That's not in there at all. So I would say, for fans that are clamoring for the Royals to go and add, and names that are on the list of all these top players around the league that could get traded, don't get your hopes up that the Royals are going to be acquiring any of them.
Yeah, I don't, again, controllable relief pitching would be the only thing realistically. Okay, so you've got Lorenzen, you've got Adam Frazier, Mark Canna, Rich Hill, Taylor Clark, and you've got Luke Maley and Seth Lugo on the option. That's it. I mean, that's kind of all that's there as far as what you could lose. They're going to be in a great position next year. I don't think anything they do now you can allow to harm you next year. So, and even if Lugo's gone, obviously we remember they Noah Cameron has changed this all too, because in theory you'd have Cole Reagan's back and healthy. So now you kind of have, you got four starters anyway, and plus Daniel Lynch comes back. I just, they got to be careful. They got to tread with caution. If Lugo can land them a player that helps them, great. I think what they would like to do is utilize Lugo in a trade that also solves their outfield problem. That's what I think they'd like to do. Like an old school, kind of like they did with Jonathan India. We have this asset that's valuable. Do you have an outfielder that we could envision helping us this year and next year? That's where the conversations would start for me. And then let's see if we can go strength for strength. We can help you. You can help us. We can look past this year, because I don't think a rental player makes any sense at all for them. And then you go on from there. Or, like we've said before, You take the first round pick, you let Lugo go, make him a qualifying offer, or you try to extend him, and you just see if you can catch a little magic this year. Nothing wrong with that either.
That's what I would do. And the longer that this has gone on and the closer we've gotten to the deadline, that's where I've been. That's kind of where I've landed. I know that there are a lot of prominent people out there, including one of our colleagues up in Kansas City. I listened to his show yesterday. Talking about how the Royals have to trade Seth Lugo with the depth they've got in their pitching rotation and their pitching staff. I land in a different area. Like, why not see if this team can make it happen with the current people that you've got? Why not keep Lugo on the roster?
I don't agree with that take either.
And again, I've said it before and I'll say it again. If it was a different situation where the Royals knew they were going to lose Seth Lugo and get literally nothing in return for him,
right,
then maybe move him. But at least you're going to get a draft pick, because they will make him a qualifying offer. And if he declines it and he walks away, at least you know you are getting something in return, some kind of compensation for Seth Lugo walking away. At that point, it's better than nothing. And I think it's worth the Royals rolling the dice to see what they've got for the remainder of this season.
The reason for me is to say that they have to trade Lugo is totally ignoring this season's chances of making the postseason. Like, they don't have to trade Seth Lugo because they still are in the mix to make the playoffs. Therefore, you don't have to trade anybody. You're trying to make the playoffs. That matters. That's important. They're not 12 games back. Like, they're very much in the mix of this thing. And so, no, you don't have to trade him. Imagine if they were four games up in the wild card. Would anybody be saying they have to trade Seth Lugo? Of course not. Like, we've seen this wild card in the course of it change over the course of a week, good or bad, for about 9 different teams this year. Like, there is that very important thing that still exists, and that is this season and trying to make the playoffs, which is, again, something that is very possible.
It goes back to that question. And really, I know that there are teams that they have to leapfrog, and some of it is out of the Royals' control because they are chasing and they need other teams to stumble a little bit. But it comes back down to the absolute foundation of the question. Do the Royals, does their front office, J.J. Piccolo, does he believe that this team is a playoff team this season? Does he believe that the current makeup of this roster can play in the playoffs? And if the answer is yes, if he believes that, then I think you stick with what you have and you ride that wave.
How could you not believe that either, by the way? Like, what would be the reason? Of course he believes that. But like, what if you're a critic? Like, what is making you think? Do you think? Because I don't think you. I certainly don't subscribe to it. I don't think you do. Like, what is the reason you think people don't think they're capable?
I mean, probably reverting back to the weak offense that we saw as recently as a month ago or 3 weeks ago. It's been better in July, but I think that's probably one of the fears. I think it goes back to, even when they were winning games earlier this season, the criticism that I know people, including yourself, had, that they were winning games despite the offense being bad and the pitching would eventually come back down to earth, which it has to a point. It's not as elite as it was in May, or even in June for that matter. So I think I think it's kind of a little bit of a PTSD thing. Like, hey, this team is, they're winning right now, but it very easily could revert back to the way that it was before.
It totally could. But also, like, they're better than they were performing.
You're right. But I I'm playing devil's advocate here. I think there could be an argument that it wasn't that long ago that we saw just an incredibly anemic offense. And could it go back to that? Sure.
They're obviously capable of being a terrible offense, the worst in baseball. They're capable of it. But I just mean, like, to sit here and say they have no chance at the postseason, to me, seems like the biggest stretch. Even if you're a pessimist, you can see the path for them. Well, A, their players play what they play like they normally play, and they have some of the best pitching in baseball. That's not outrageous. Like that. Now, whether that's going to be enough is debatable, and that kind of depends on what everybody else does.
Yeah, exactly. The challenge is you don't control your own destiny. That becomes the challenge. You have to rely on other teams losing as well. And they do get some head-to-head matchups in the division, at least, the Tigers and the Guardians this weekend, and obviously that all happens. But the teams that they're chasing in the wild card, you don't control your own destiny. That does make it more of a challenge.
It does, and that's why I bring up that's what takes me to the Tigers thing, right? There's so many of these other teams. Most of them are probably acquiring talent at the deadline. I don't think the Tigers are going to do that. I think the Tigers will probably sit still. And so, and you play them 6 times, and they are coming back down to earth just a little bit. So does that path become more navigable? Is that a word? Than trying to jump so many teams in the wild card. I think that's become at least interesting, which is great news for the Royals. I mean, it's great news that they've lost 9 of 10 for the Royals, because there was a time not that long ago where it was like they have no chance to catch them. And now all of a sudden, whatever. Doesn't matter. All of it being said, the Royals don't do any of it unless they win a whole bunch of baseball games down the stretch. That gets back underway tonight against the Guardians. They just took 2 of 3 from one of baseball's best on the road. Why not the Guardians, right? Like, is that outrageous to think they could come out and have a big series against Cleveland? No, it's not. The Cleveland just lost a game to Baltimore. So, yes, the Royals can have a big series. It'd be great if they could do something really special, like, sweep them. But Cleveland's good, and Cleveland's been playing better too. We are talking a lot of baseball as we come up to the trade deadline. This will be a big weekend for a whole bunch of teams, including the Royals, and in where they stand as decisions need to be made. Training camp is also underway. Training camp's underway. Practices are underway in college football as we kind of get a first taste of KU, and we'll get to them after the Chiefs here in just a second. But Tommy, we not a lot now. We're kind of to this portion of training camp where nobody's wearing pads, and it's really just like the conditioning portion. So, you know, yesterday, the things that kind of that I took away a little bit were, you know, Andy Reid is liking what he's seeing out of the two tackles, but honestly, he even admitted he's like, but they're not in pads, so it's kind of hard. One thing that did jump out a little bit to me, he was asked about Jalen Royals, the rookie, and he went out of his way to talk about him being smart, which is a good sign, right? Like that's what the challenge is going to be. And if Rashee Rice misses time, I don't know that anybody expect Jalen Royals to be early on in this season a huge factor, but if he's smart and if he's able to pick things up quickly, which is always the challenge for rookie receivers for Andy Reid, that would be good news. So that kind of stood out yesterday. Might be a bit of a stretch, but I did notice that he took that time to say it.
There's always a learning curve with rookie wide receivers in the Andy Reid system. The playbook is always complicated. There's always a lot that they've got to figure out and memorize and get that comfortability and all of that. That's the first step. And then you've got to build the relationship with Patrick Mahomes. We've seen it. It's happened multiple times over the last couple of years where Rashee Rice coming in as a rookie took him a little while. By the end of the season, he was there. Xavier Worthy, same thing a season ago. It took him a while. And then ultimately by, you know, late in the season, he was there. If Jalen Royals can even speed that process up by a couple of weeks, we may see him, you know, have more of an impact early on than maybe those other guys did. Now, is he as talented as Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy? Probably not. I mean, I think Royals is a nice piece. I think he's a good receiver, but you know, he's probably not. We're probably not looking at him being, you know, a top tier wide receiver by any means. But if he can be more impactful because he's learned the playbook quicker and he's built that trust and he's a smart player, if he can have more of an impact in his rookie year, I think that's a win for the Chiefs.
Yeah, it's for sure a win for the Chiefs. It's just unlikely, but we'll watch it. I mean, being smart is the thing that is the challenge. Another one that jumped out, Kareem Hunt, talking about how svelte, as he put it, Travis Kelce looks young. You can see the burst. I think we all expect this. What are the chances, do you think, that Kelce becomes what he was 2-3 years ago versus last year? I think they're actually pretty good because I think they're going to ask him to do things a little different. I know he's prepared himself physically to do it, which is why I think there's a pretty good chance. But I also think there will be some design in the Chiefs offense to do that too. I just don't think Kelce will be doing the exact same things he's been doing. I think they envision him more as a pass catcher this year.
They have to have him be a volume pass catcher like he was earlier in his career. And even when he wasn't quite doing that as much a season ago or even 2 years ago, it wasn't like he wasn't catching the ball. I mean, he just didn't get it quite at the same volume. He wasn't involved in that regard quite as much as we were used to. I mean, his stat lines were still pretty good, but they weren't like epic like we had been used to seeing for so long from Travis Kelce. I do think that there is going to be an intentional push to get him back to that this coming season. And I think it was a combination of the Chiefs going in different directions offensively and trying to reestablish and redefine what the offense looked like over the last couple of years. That was part of it. But then it was also partially he was a little bit banged up at times and he was getting a little bit older. And, you know, I'm not saying that he wasn't in good shape, but maybe not quite as in good a shape as he had been at one time in his career. The fact that that's been a deliberate and intentional change this offseason for him to work his way back to being kind of that guy, I do think you're going to see schematically things move more towards that direction going into this year.
I do too. And I think that's especially a good thing if Rashee Rice misses time in the beginning of the season, something we're still waiting to see. But those were a couple of things that stood out to me yesterday from camp. We got to get him in pads to get some real looks, honestly, at the tackles, which is what we're all watching, and Royals too, a little bit. All right, let's talk KU football, Tommy. It's kind of the first chance for anybody to get in there and talk to them yesterday and see them. KU football is, I just don't know how to set an expectation for them this year. It's this, it's the strangest dynamic. We're all deeply concerned with all the talent that they lost. Rightfully so, I think. But they weren't very good last year. So how concerned should we be? Right? Like, it's this weird dynamic. Most of the time when you come off of a disappointing season, which felt like it was massively, massively underachieved, you're not like, oh God, we lost all these players. But it's Devin Neal, and it's all, you know, it's all of these really Luke Grimm critical pieces that they've had for so long as a part of this rebuild that it is concerning.
Well, on the,
it's
on the
strange dynamic.
On the defensive side too, you don't have Kobe Bryant. You don't have Melo Dotson. Like, those guys,
I mean,
are
the dudes, right? The dudes that have rebuilt this thing.
I think that one benefit that Lance Leipold is going to have is that, the expectations, I think, while they are appropriate and while they should be a good team, they're not through the roof. Like, remember going into last season, it was, this is a team that could win the Big 12. This is a team that could potentially compete to be in the CFP, like all of that. And then, of course, they fell far from that. They did not even come close to that. Those are not the expectations going into this year. I think that that is a little bit of a benefit. But on top of that, I mean, I think that this is a team that you still have Jalen Daniels. You still have Daniel Hyshaw. You know, you've got a really good transfer class coming in. They could be a sneaky team in the Big 12. Are they going to win?
I agree.
Are they going to win the conference? I mean, I think there's too much at the top for them to get past four or five different teams that are competing to be the Big 12 champion. But could they be right beneath them? Sure. I mean, I think they absolutely are a team that we should be looking at to go to a bowl game. I think we should absolutely be looking at them to potentially finish in maybe the top four or five in the Big 12. And anything beyond that is a bonus and an improvement from a season ago for sure.
I think that it's something like, if you look at their projected depth charts, it's possibly going to be like 22 new players are either at the front or right behind or backing up starting positions for Kansas on both sides of the ball. It's a lot. It is a lot. Some of those players are probably going to be upgrades. That's something to think about. Some of them will be downgrades for sure. But at the end of the day, Lance Leipold is very good at what he does. Jalen Daniels, when he's right, is very good at what he does. And I think, like, for the most optimistic of fans, you can just start there. Right, Jalen Daniels was once a preseason player of the year in this conference. He just can't stay healthy.
Don't you think, though, like with Jalen Daniels, I mean, he's got, and again, this is going to be prefaced on him staying healthy. Obviously, that's a huge question mark, and it always has been. But don't you think he can just go out there and just ball out, like play free and clear, and not have these crazy expectations, preseason player of the year? This is a team that should make the college football playoff, win the conference, et cetera, et cetera. It's like, I think a lot of people forget that he's still on the team, right? And so you can sort of just go out there and play loose. You should go out there and play loose and free and easy and just go, like, ball out. It's your last year in college. The expectations are not as big as they have been in years past because you're replacing a lot of players around the team and on both sides of the ball. Just go out there and just let it all hang loose. Who cares?
Right. And I think that'll be good. And I think if we get a full season, which is a big ask of Jalen Daniels historically to count on a full season. But if you get most of a season of Jalen Daniels playing like he did toward the end of last year with Leipold's ability to just figure out how to win games that he showed you at Kansas, I think that's your optimistic take. There is no way for us to know all of these players coming in to replace the players going out, what the net gain or loss is on that until we see them play. So when we talk about expectations, it's like, how do you even set them? I think you just start with Daniels and Leipold. I think that's the only thing you can do. I mean, Hyshaw is going to be, I've always liked Hyshaw. I'm curious to see how he thrives in a large role. I'll bet he shares carries at least to somebody. I mean, some people think LaShawn Williams is going to be the starter. I think Hyshaw is going to be the starter. I've heard that chatter. It sure sounds like Lance Leipold yesterday intends for Daniel Hyshaw to be the starter. He couldn't stop talking about how excited about the opportunity for Hyshaw that he is to watch him play. So I don't buy that he's going to be, you know, as part of like a 50-50 split or worse. I think he'll be the guy at least early on. And I'm excited for that. But it's going to come down to Jalen Daniels.
They should have a really solid offensive line to protect Jalen Daniels. Bryce Foster, I know, is working his way back from injury, but I mean, he's been fantastic, and he should be one of the best offensive linemen in the entire conference. You know, like there are still some returners that are out there, a couple guys defensively that can help them out for sure. There's production coming back on both sides of the ball, even though you had some premier guys leave.
But and that's what, to my original point, yes, there's production coming back. They weren't very good last year. So I don't want to over worry about all the losses and the, like, they weren't very good. Maybe it's not a bad thing that they've got a little bit of a reset, a clean start this year in a lot of places. So they're beginning practice. They're beginning their work. We saw K-State. We checked in on K-State early in the week. It should be an interesting, I don't think the expectations sure don't feel as high collectively as they did a year ago. And K-State's probably in a better position to do what we thought they might do last year, this year. So hopefully one or both of them does that this year, and we get one of them in a college football playoff. I think I'm comfortable with saying K-State's my favorite to win the league. I think they can do it.
I'm still rolling with Texas Tech. They're my team that I think is going to win the Big 12. I love Joey McGuire. I think Joey McGuire is phenomenal.
So many new players and no Taj Brooks. I like what they've done. I do. I think it's a very cool story for college football. But I think I'm gonna stick with the experience of K-State. We'll see. Iowa State. I mean, are you kidding me? How massive is that? Is there a bigger early season contest August 23rd?
Can we
Ireland?
Can we look at like plane tickets? You and I should fly out there, go over to Dublin, cover that game.
We'll do the show live from Dublin. I could do that. I could get on board with that.
That's going to wrap things up on a Friday edition of Sports Daily. We didn't mention the 3M Open on the PGA Tour. All three local guys that we follow here had pretty good opening rounds. Sam Stevens is up around the lead, and he tees off later this afternoon. Gary Woodland, Adam Hadwin, both had really good opening rounds as well. So we'll be cheering on the local connections on the PGA Tour this weekend. Coming up this weekend on the network, Royals baseball tonight, 7 o'clock against the Guardians here on KFH. Hope you all have a great weekend. We'll be back here on Monday for another edition of Sports Daily. For Max Power and Jacob Albrock, I'm Tommy Caster. Have a great weekend.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.